We have one case for argument today, Gillen Forest Industry, I'm sure I'm pronouncing that wrong, versus U.S. number 23-2245. Mr. Jordan, when you're ready.
May it please the Court. This Court should reverse the decision of the Court of International Trade because its decision plainly contravenes decades of binding precedent that the Trade Court and this Court are bound to follow. Ever since this Court's 1997 decision in Sigma v. United States, this Court has continually held that it is within Commerce's authority to implement a presumption of state control for exporters in a non-market economy and to place the burden on exporters to demonstrate an absence of central government control.
Mr. Jordan, let's assume that there weren't any prior decisions on this issue. And so just looking at the merits of the issue, what is your argument as to the propriety of the NME presumption, which I take it is the core submission of the appellees?
Sure. So the NME is an exercise of commerce's discretion to administer the trade statute, and it does not contradict or contravene other statutory mandates, including the mandate to calculate an individually investigated rate. And in the record here, the logic or reasonability of that is supported given the nature of how an NME controls firms operating under it. And so it makes sense as a matter of logic that you would treat firms within an NME that have not rebutted the presumption as if they are the NME.
And the adoption of a presumption in a situation such as this is, you say it's logical. What's the closest precedent you would point to? Again, setting aside our prior decisions on this issue.
So the court has recognized in the binding cases too many to list, as the CMA court held, the application of this precedent. I think in our briefing we cite some cases where the nature of the NME that it makes sense for commerce to apply this rebuttable presumption. And I would also add that there's a distinction between applying the presumption and then applying control of the NME to the entire entity. And so the presumption is used given commerce's resources and also given its understanding of the NME. And then also the idea that the NME control can be attributed to the entity that's subject to investigation also makes sense as a matter of logic as well. And so the idea of applying a rebuttable presumption and then applying the NME-wide rate to the entity is supported by the record, I believe, at appendix pages 170 through 186. Commerce talks about that. One thing I would like to point out is the sort of central error I think that the trade court made is they identified this as an exercise of Chevron deference as opposed to just the broad discretion to administer the trade statute. And so this court in 1983, before Chevron, acknowledged that commerce has this discretion in Smith-Corona v. United States. And indeed, since Loper-Bright, this court has at least twice acknowledged that the NME presumption presides, and most notably in Pirelli Tire, and then a few weeks ago in another case called CMA that was decided on April 28th, 2025, they acknowledged that the NME presumption presides, and it's pursuant to this broad discretion to administer the statute.
Does Commerce ever identify a specific statutory authority or regulation that is the basis for the NME policy? Because that's what the trade court seemed to be crying out for. Is your answer we don't have to do that, or that you have done it? And if so, where have you done it?
So the statutes that put on commerce a responsibility to calculate a rate is what it is acting pursuant to. Is there a particular section of the U.S. Code that existed in 1991 when commerce started using this presumption that says for NME policies, this is the particular thing you use. To my knowledge, that kind of thing does not exist within the U.S. code, but it does have the authority to calculate rates and conduct investigations and administrative reviews, and that this court has held that Commerce does not abuse its discretion.
And not just no statute, but by not telling me a regulation, you also agree there is no specific regulation that Commerce has adopted that expressly says, here's this NME policy and here, you know, we're going to act pursuant to it.
So I think within the CFR there exist references to it that suggest that. I think we cite in our briefs 19 CFR 351.107D, and my understanding is that since the end of briefing that now exists at 351.108.
Now that's effective in 2025, right?
Yeah, I think it's December of 24, 20,
right,
25.
But not that regulation would not have had any applicability to this particular ruling that's under review, correct?
But it's come out since the investigation.
But it has no retroactive effect, I take it. Or do you submit that it does?
It's not my understanding that it would, but my understanding is that 107D, which did exist at the time, is subsumed within 108. And so I looked at 107 and the text that was used to be in 107D, it's my understanding that that now exists in 108. And 107D talks about non-market economies. And then there's also...
Right, but there's no reference to the presumption, if I recall correctly, in 107D.
I believe that is correct with respect to the presumption, and I think it's more of a there's various parts within the CFR that reference it, you know, and within the U.S. code, you know, they mentioned 1677-18, which talks about the definition.
That's
of
just a definition, though, right? That doesn't do anything more than tell you what an NME is. It doesn't actually say, and what do we do about it, right?
Yeah. So I mean, at the end of the day, you have Commerce that is charged with calculating a rate, with administering the statute, and the way it did so does not contravene law, and is a rational exercise of its discretion to determine that, as the court has continually found, and as the record in this case supports,
Is your view generally, I mean, the statutes are pretty broad, and they tell Commerce to investigate and determine rates for exporters. And they don't tell Commerce anything further about how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So Commerce has fairly broad discretion in determining how to do it, unless it's mm-hmm. arbitrary and capricious or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, when they're looking at companies from non-market economies, this presumption is a lawful exercise of that broad power.
Mm-hmm.
And that it doesn't have anything to do with gap filling or an ambiguous statute, so Chevron and Loper-Bright don't come into play. It's a specific statutory authorization to undertake this.
Correct, and I would analogize it to like the broad discretion that a contracting officer has to structure a procurement. That is discretion, but it's not statutory discretion. And so with here, we're dealing with administering the statute. And so I think what the trade court did is it conflated discretion to administer the statute with Chevron, but it's analytically distinct, that kind of discretion.
So I guess the follow-up to that is, why doesn't the presumption and then the subsequent use of the NME rate for pretty much everybody that can't show mm-hmm. independence, why isn't that inconsistent with like 1677F1C1? That says they shall determine the individual weighted average during dumping margin for each known export. That seems to suggest that they're going to do an individual one for each one, not this group one.
Yeah, and as this court in CMA recognized, it is an individually investigated rate because of the nature of the NME entity. If you have a government that can exercise wide latitude, and in this case, they were majority ownership, there was a labor union, and they can effectively reach into very specific business operations.
I think we're bound by CMA, but so most of these questions are, if CMA were not binding, but is that because even if they did actually go out and look for each entity controlled by the Chinese government, that you would use the same formula and methodology anyway to come up, and it would all be the same dumping margin. Because you wouldn't rely on their books because they wouldn't be reliable if they're not independent. And then you would just resort to whatever surrogate values and adverse influences and all that other stuff. And so there's no reason to do that 15 different times for 15 controlled companies because it's all going to arrive at the same number. Is that, I'm just kind of speculating about what would happen, but that seems to me what would likely happen if they had to do it company by company.
Yeah, and I think that's the nature if you have a government which controls the entities within its operations and it's held to do that, that it doesn't make sense to come up with those separate rates given the nature of what it means to be a non-market economy with control.
I think so what that comes down to, ultimately, I take it, is if you lose on determining that there is that the presumption, if you lose on the presumption, as a company in what is presumably a non-market economy, and you are unable to establish that you have independence from the government, you're pretty much done. It sounds like there's not much left that you can do. It's out of your hands. That's the way it feels in looking at it. Is that unfair, or do you have other recourse that is within your control?
Yeah, so I think as the presumption operates, the company needs to affirmatively come up with that proof. And so if it's established that it is from one of the 12 non-market economies and they just don't do anything, then they're presumed to be part of it. And then
right.
They have
once
to make
that presumption comes into play, it seems like matters are outside of your control. There's nothing you can do to show anybody that in fact you're not dumping.
There would be judicial to demonstrate the lack of control. There would be judicial review and the Court
right.
of Commerce. And
but I think I'm going to ask a hypothetical because I think you're not quite getting. But let's just assume that they can't demonstrate independence, so there's control. But hypothetically, also the records themselves establish, you know, clearly with no debate that this company is not actually dumping.
Mm-hmm.
And so that seems to result in a perceived unfairness that even though the Chinese government controls them, they're not dumping. Is there another avenue to challenge that? Or is that just a function of being in a company in a non-market economy where you can't demonstrate independence?
So I think that is a function of the non-market economy. From time to time, the NME status of companies can be reviewed. It's my understanding that the vast majority of NMEs are former Soviet republics, and I'm not sure about this, but I think Armenia used to be, and now it's not. And
but the short answer to Judge Hughes's question, which put the question much more succinctly and precisely than mine, is yes. That's the end of the road for that company, right?
Unless they challenge the NME itself.
Right, but his first point is, assume that you can't win on the NME presumption issue. You're cooked, right?
With respect to getting the NME-wide rate, that's Commerce's practice.
All right.
Okay, thank you. You're into your rebuttal time. I'll restore your 3 minutes. Let's hear from the other side now. Ms. Powell?
Good afternoon. May it please the Court. Brittany Powell for Geland Forest. The Court should find that the CIT did not err in finding that Commerce exceeded its authority to impose the NME presumption because there is no clear statutory basis for this authority. Commerce has been imposing the NME presumption for nearly 30 years, and when...
Isn't China Manufacturing in all these cases binding? I mean, I get on the merits. You have a very interesting legal argument, but how... I mean, I don't even see how we as a panel can ignore all these cases. I am baffled that Judge Eaton ignored those cases.
Those cases are distinguished from the issue at hand because those cases didn't consider the source of Commerce's of statutory authority to impose the NME presumption.
How does that matter?
In the first place.
It's just a different legal argument. It's not, you know, you can always come in and say, well, they didn't consider it, this legal argument. The holding rested on something else. That doesn't make it any less binding precedent. If the binding precedent says Commerce is allowed to use this NME methodology and evidentiary presumption, then they're allowed to do it until we overrule it en banc or until the Supreme Court overrules it. Otherwise, precedent would never be precedent because everybody would come in and say, well, I have a new argument. You didn't consider that argument, so it's not binding anymore. And I get, I mean, you know, you got Judge Eden to buy off on it, but I just don't see how that's a way around precedent.
So CMA really looks at challenges the legal authority to use the enemy-wide 80 rate. Okay. But it doesn't answer the question of Commerce's authority to impose the enemy presumption in the first place.
But why does Commerce need statutory authority to adopt an evidentiary presumption?
So a few reasons why. First of all, agencies are creatures of statute. They derive their authority from the legislative branch. When Commerce was instructed by the court to identify the delegated power by Congress to impose the enemy presumption, Commerce could not.
But their position... But it's a basic principle of administrative law that agencies can make rules by either regulation, informal rulemaking, or adjudication. And when they do it by adjudication, and there's a long line of cases on this, one of the things that that enables them to do, entitles them to do, is to draw inferences and adopt presumptions. I mean, there are a batch of cases on this. You may be familiar with them, going all the way back to Republic Aviation in 1945. Are you familiar with Republic Aviation?
Not familiar specifically with
that
case,
but you know
the general premise.
The rule. I mean, here's language from one case. Administrative agencies are entitled to create evidentiary presumptions, period, full stop, citing a batch of Supreme Court cases. Why is that a proposition that requires statutory authorization as opposed to being something that's just inherent in the adjudicative process? I mean, courts draw presumptions all the time, even and concoct them, frankly, even when there's no statutory authority for that. Why can't an administrative court do the same thing?
I think it's for the first time that Commerce identified the enemy presumption as an evidentiary presumption. That is, it defines as an interpretive rule rather than a legislative rule. But in fact, the presumption is functioning as a legislative rule. It didn't undergo the required process under the APA. It affects the rights of parties, exporters, and non-market economy cases to have access to calculate to individual investigated weighted average.
But that's exactly the same argument that was made in all of these. The NLRB acts almost exclusively through adjudication, right? And they have been, again, since 1945 and repeatedly since then, the NLRB has been upheld when it has adopted presumptions, and it's adopted a number of them. And there's no statutory authority for the adoption, but the Supreme Court has said, yep, they have the authority to do that. It's inherent in the adjudicative process. That's the problem I have with your attack on the agency's application of the presumption.
I think the trial judge or the trial court was correct in recognizing this tension. First, between Commerce's use of the presumption, which it created out of whole cloth without any express or direction from the legislator. While they have some discretion to implement the statute and the statutory mandate, their discretion is not unbounded. And in this case...
Well, let me ask you about that, because there's two questions to that. First is their exercise of this presumption inconsistent with any statute that gives them authority? It seems to me that these statutes are really broad and just says go out and investigate and calculate. Is there a inconsistency, a plain inconsistency between the presumption and those statutes?
Our position is that the inconsistency is with 19 U.S.C. 1677 F-1, where in which the statute directs Commerce expressly to calculate. It says the authority, Commerce, shall determine the individual weighted average dumping margin for each known exporter producer. And this statute only provides for a few exceptions.
But it doesn't say it has to be based upon the exporter-specific records. Commerce would have the discretion, as it does in any kind of cases, even outside of NME cases, to say, we don't find your records reliable. or we don't find what you're giving us good enough, so we're going to use surrogate values and adverse interests, you know, the whole drill that they're authorized to do. Why isn't the same kind of evidentiary presumption for the MME part of that same toolbox?
Again, our position is that it's not merely an evidentiary presumption.
Whatever we call it, why isn't that the same thing? Is they have to go do it. It doesn't tell them how to do it. And one of the ways they're doing it for these companies that are in non-market economies is saying, you know, if you can show independence, we're going to follow our normal rules. But if you can't, we're going to calculate a weight for the single entity because we assume that single entity is setting all the prices and stuff.
So the presumption is changing the rules for exporters in non-market economy cases. The statute doesn't...
Changing what rules and what rules are...
The rule is that you have to first affirmatively show that you're not part of the China-wide entity.
No.
In order to...
You're saying for NMEs are changing the rules. What rules are they changing that aren't applicable to other investigations?
The notion that a company can, like GLIN, have a calculated margin of zero, but unless it affirmatively establishes independence.
You're not answering my question.
Okay.
When you say they're changing the rules, it sounds to me like you said Congress has set forth the rules somewhere that Commerce follows in all these other cases, but is not following them in the NME cases.
I think it goes back to this statute.
But that's not true, right?
No.
Congress has not set forth a series of rules to tell Commerce specifically how to calculate dumping margins.
That's correct.
Okay. They've given them super broad authority. I mean, most agencies don't get the kind of discretion that Commerce gets for these anti-dumping cases. It's a very specific, like, just go, it's like go out and calculate. And so I think the problem is you have to show me why that's inconsistent with that. Their practice is inconsistent, which you're not going to be able to do. Then it becomes, is it an abuse of discretion to do that? And why would it be an abuse of discretion?
Well, Commerce, to conclude my last point, so the NME presumption is imposing new obligations that are not specified in the statute. Okay, so in order to have
Everything Commerce does in these investigations is not specified in the statutes. Lots of these practices for both NME companies and non-NME companies have evolved out of the continuing investigations and reviews and the like, and they develop sets of practices that are not inconsistent with the statutes, so we approve them over and over again. So, the mere fact that it's something that's not in the statute doesn't say much because the statute doesn't say much. If the statute had a list of, here are steps 1 through 10 on how you calculate duties, and Commerce came in and said, we're going to add step 11 and 12, then we would probably have to determine, are 11 and 12 consistent with or inconsistent with in a proper exercise? But you're not pointing to anything that is inconsistent with what Commerce is doing. You're just saying they're doing something that Congress didn't specifically say they could be allowed to do. But what I'm asking is, can you point to anywhere where Congress specifically said they could not do this?
I would refer to the government's reply brief. I think they mentioned the use of condom-specific reporting as something that is obligatory in order to obtain a calculated rate, but it's not expressed in the statute. It is their permissible, it's their under their discretion to impose that kind of reporting requirement in order to calculate a margin. So in those instances where Commerce has employed the condom-specific reporting or other requirements, it is to further their aim, their statutory aim and mandate to calculate a dumping margin for the individually investigated exporters. Whereas the NME presumption is giving them, it's the way that they've employed it is abdicating that statutory mandate. It's not in furtherance of calculating a margin, it's in furtherance of setting aside a calculated margin.
Maybe the real core of your argument, as I'm beginning to hear it, is not really an attack on the NME presumption itself, but rather saying that even if the NME presumption is upheld, and even if GLIN came in and says, yeah, we're all part of a government-wide enterprise, nonetheless, 1677F requires you to individually look at us, even if all the other, we're part of this larger coalition of state-owned entities. Isn't that the core of your argument?
It is. That is the tension between the enemy presumption and the express
mandate
of the statute.
But that doesn't really have anything to do with the presumption so much as it has to do with the implications of accepting that either arguendo or in fact that your client is part of an overall state-run operation. If, even under those circumstances, it's a violation of the statute not to do an individual investigation, then you've got an argument that doesn't require you to win on the NME presumption, right?
I think that the court should still analyze the source of authority because it's still, that is ultimately what's part of what's missing from the analysis. So on the one hand, you have USC 1677 F1 imposing an obligation for Commerce to calculate or determine an individual weighted average dumping margin for each known or investigated exporter. But on the other hand, you have a policy with no binding effect of law that Commerce uses to determine that the exporter that's
hypothetically, if instead of this NME policy or presumption, however, whatever you want to call it, Commerce still, because there's NME status, we know which are NMEs.
Right.
So there's NME status. What if for every single company that was in a non-market economy, Commerce came in and they did an investigation and they said, we are not going to rely on your records and because they're not trustworthy, because you're controlled by the state entity. And they look at it and they don't have presumption, but they look at it under the same factors, which is if you can't establish independence, that, you know, they're then going to resort to the normal bag of tricks of adverse influences or inferences, all that kind of stuff. And they come up and they say, here's the dumping margin because this is the same. And then they do that for every single company in the non-market economy. Would that satisfy the statute?
I think that does get closer to satisfying the statute. The reason
what
being,
is the functional
the reason,
difference?
The reason being that Commerce is applying the NME presumption widely against all exporters in all non-market economy
but
cases.
But my hypothetical bakes that in, even though they're making an individual determination, they're using the same set of factors, which is there majority control of the board? All the other factors that are already in the presumption, they're just doing it 10 times, over and over again, instead of requiring the importers or exporters or whoever's challenging it to rebut it. I don't see any difference whatsoever. It seems to me to be a functional difference if you're relying on the fact that it needs to be company by company. They're doing it company by company. They're just saying, here's the factors we're going to apply. If you don't prove you're outside of it, then you're going to get this rate, which is the rate we're going to come up with for every single company also.
Is your hypothetical that they're applying the presumption on a case-by-case basis? Because what I'm understanding is they're not, in your hypothetical, is they're not
well, they
applying
do,
the presumption.
They,
in that
they
case,
do apply it on a case-by-case basis, right? Every single company that's subject to this rule has the ability to come in with facts and say, look, we aren't controlled by the Chinese government. We've been seeing cases where, in fact, companies come in and say, the Chinese government only controls 30% of the seats on our board, or 40%. So that shows a lack of government control. Then we get into other factors, and it shows that those 40 actually do control it. It can go both ways. But they aren't just saying automatically. They give you the ability to rebut. What difference would it make if it just is changing from, we're going to presume that you're controlled in China, versus we're going to apply the same set of factors. It switches the burden of proof from them to you, but that doesn't seem to be something that's addressed by your argument or the statute.
But it is imposing an obligation that didn't exist.
So what?
The presumption is imposing an obligation.
Commerce is allowed to impose any kind of, they can make you turn over records, they can do all these kind of stuff, and if they don't do it, they can impose an adverse inference. How is this any different in some sense than, like I say, the normal box of tools they have to do these things?
I think that when you, at the end of the day, Congress does not typically use oblique or elliptical language when they're empowering an agency to make radical or fundamental change. And the NME presumption is essentially modifying the application of the statute to make radical or fundamental change with respect to the exporters in the non-market economy countries. And for that reason, it's not merely an interpretive rule or an evidentiary demonstration. It should have undergone the APA requirements that gave parties an opportunity to be heard and to appear and to determine the source and whether Commerce ultimately had the authority to implement this presumption in the first place.
Anything further?
No, Your Honor.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. I will be brief.
If we were to decide that the application of the NME presumption in a particular case was irrational, mm-hmm. would that be a point that the importer would be entitled to raise?
In this case?
No, just in general. Just suppose a case comes along and the NME presumption is applied, but we decide ultimately that it's an irrational presumption, either in an individual case or in general.
In an individual case, I would submit it depends on the facts, and they can raise that. With respect here, I think the idea of, in the abstract, commerce being able to do that has been continually affirmed, and in the abstract...
I know it has, but I'm in the hypothetical world here. What I'm really asking is, I think it's pretty clear that agencies can embrace presumptions, but they have to be rational. Mm-hmm. And that's a limitation on adopting presumptions. You can't, well, I won't go into all the kinds of presumptions that you can't make, but you're not suggesting that an attack on the rationality of the NME presumption would be a non-starter, right?
Given the current understanding of what an NME is, that presumption is rational. I want to get back to one of the earlier questions.
Wait, but not this specific presumption, any presumption. Let's just say hypothetically Commerce decides, if you're in a non-market economy country, we're just going to automatically apply a presumption that you have to pay 1,000% duties. That's clearly irrational, right? They can challenge that because it's irrational, even if it's not necessarily inconsistent with the language of the statute.
Yeah, I think it would go into how that's calculated and the particular facts.
Well, they're not calculating it per specific case.
This is a per se rule.
They're going to adopt a policy that says, we've decided that for China, that whatever reason, and let's just assume it gives no reason, that everybody gets 1,000% duties. Everybody, across the boards, no way to get around it. That's our policy. That's an irrational policy. And even though Commerce has pretty broad authority, they don't have that broad of authority, even though it doesn't conflict with the direct language of any of these statutes.
Yeah, the APA is a
right.
is a binding constriction here. And I would also mention the court earlier asked about cases that talk about the NME that application. On page 23 of our brief, we cite Qingdao Taifa Group, which cites ICC Industries, and it talks about the nature of of the NME. I think in my prior argument, I cited the 27 years of cases. That's one specific one we mentioned. I see my time has expired, but I'm happy to address other questions.
Any more questions?
Thanks.
Great.
The case is submitted.